This show is live and local, and on the first portion of it today, we're going to be talking with two members of the board of the Prairie Ensemble, a community professional orchestra based in Champaign-Urbana that is opening its season with a concert next Tuesday, featuring music by Beethoven and some other extracurriculars. And then in the second portion of the show, I'll talk with Gus Gordon of Gordon Productions in Springfield. He is helping to produce at the Hoagland Center for the Arts a performance of the musical called Altar Boys. That's B-O-Y-Z, which recently came off Broadway. And it's a musical comedy. We'll be hearing about that and some of the music from that show as well. It's live and local. Stay tuned to FM 90.9. That was the third movement of the minuet from the Septet in E-flat, Opus 20 by Ludwig van Beethoven, played by members of the Vienna Octet. And you can hear the complete work played by seven members of the Prairie Ensemble a week from tonight, Tuesday, the 16th of November, at a space called Tiernan's Hall. Which, if that is unfamiliar to those of you who live in downtown Urbana or live in Urbana or anywhere near Champaign-Urbana, don't be alarmed because, in a way, it no longer exists. It's now a business called Applied Pavement Technology, but there is part of the old structure there and a stage and a seating area, and the ensemble is going to be taking advantage of that, holding a little fundraising event on the 16th to kick off their 2010-2011 concert season. And full disclosure, I, as your host of Live and Local, Kevin Kelly, am also the music director of that organization, but, you know, we get fair play on these airwaves, too. And I've brought in with me today two longtime members of the board of directors of the Prairie Ensemble, the president, Alethea Taylor, and Don Nolan. Are you the vice president? You're the vice president.
Second fiddle.
and don't you forget it, either. Don Nolan's voice, those of you who listen to AM 580, our companion station, you may also recognize as substitute host for Steve Shoemaker on Keeping the Faith, which is every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, 5:30, 5 to 6. So thank you both for coming in on the show. You know, there was just an article in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette by Melissa Murley on the ensemble. So any who may have read that article might be aware of some of the trials and tribulations that go on in developing and maintaining an arts organization like this, even one that's been around now. This is the 15th concert season, I think. And you guys are both been integrally, did I say that right? Integrally involved.
Very
in
impressive.
That.
That's very impressive. Yeah. Also, intimately involved with it.
Yeah, that's the word I wanted. That is the word I wanted. Thank you very much. Alethea, sort of talk a little bit about what the Prairie Ensemble is from your point of view as a board of director and a board member and a listener, because, of course, it says a listener that you got pulled into the board.
Right. I would say just right off the top of my head that the Prairie Ensemble is the most exciting music organization in town, as far as I'm concerned. I probably would not be on the board of directors if I hadn't been so excited about it since I discovered it back in 2002. It's like, wow, there's this professional organization playing music I never heard before, classical music I never heard before. Some of my favorite music today is music that I heard for the first time with the Prairie Ensemble.
And that's about when you moved to town, isn't it?
Yes, that is when I moved to town.
So
yes.
You're still a relative newcomer to our area, but you've gotten yourself involved in lots of different things. I know you like to go around and talk to people and talk up this organization, other things that you're passionate about, and we're certainly glad you're passionate about the ensemble. What is it besides the music itself that appeals to you or that distinguishes the ensemble, do you think, from other things that go on in our community?
Well, I would describe it first as it's different. It's different in what they play. It's different in the size of each ensemble. I wouldn't miss a Prairie Ensemble performance at all if I'm in town, which is the case since I moved here and discovered it. It's always a surprise. Sometimes the music is very challenging. Sometimes it's just absolutely a delightful experience. It's different each time. It's always good, but it's always different.
And the quality is always first rate, thanks to Kevin's professionalism. It's just really one of the more polished musical groups in town. And we've in a town filled with lots of musical groups, Prairie Ensemble has been up there at the top and has got a reputation for high quality music.
Yeah, and Don, you've attended concerts almost since the very first one, haven't you?
Yeah, going back to I think 96, we were involved in various activities, auctions, fundraising, and went to your concerts. We've been doing it almost since the beginning. I think we missed your first year, but the second year was...
Well, the first year was 96, so
yeah,
maybe
well,
you didn't.
Then maybe we caught it. I don't
if you
know.
Can't, if you caught the first free one at McKinley Presbyterian, then you caught the first one.
I don't think I got that one.
you'd have picked up on free, I suppose.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I'm cheap.
Well, you know, since I said you've both been involved in some of the, you know, the ups and downs lately from a business point of view, talk a little bit about some of those challenges as well.
Well, I could just mention that our one of our primary sources of income in the past has been corporate sponsorship, and with the 2008 financial downturn, that has significantly shrunk. In fact, I think in 2009-2010, it was 9.8%, down from 2004-2005 of 33%. So we have really been hobbled by that decline, and individual donations and board donations have increased to fill that gap to a large extent. Individual donations are now around 45%, and board donations are 23%, and we try to fill in with tickets and other sources of income, but it has not been easy for really any NGO or volunteer organization in this town or any other town in this country. It's I think we're lucky to still be here, and very grateful that we are. Hope we can stay here for another 15 years, and I'm sure we will.
Well, that brings up an interesting topic, is that one of the things we don't do is raise our ticket prices just to try to meet the budget. Like most arts organizations, ticket sales do not pay for the majority of our budget. And the low cost of tickets, adults can go to the Prairie Ensemble for under $20 if they get their tickets in advance, which is one of the ways that I discovered the Prairie Ensemble, because I'd moved from a very expensive town and I didn't think that I could afford music in Champaign-Urbana, and I was looking in alternative newspapers, or what I call alternative newspapers, and discovered that ticket prices were affordable for me. And that was what drew me there. And I think that there are people that continue to go to the Prairie Ensemble because it's affordable.
And has, even though tickets have gone up over the years, as you say, they're still less than the going rate for classical music, professional classical music. I mean, you can certainly hear some great free or nearly free music on the University of Illinois campus, although the student
right.
organizations and so on, and some of that is really fine. And you can hear some things you wouldn't otherwise hear, but not necessarily for chamber orchestra or large and sometimes unusual chamber ensemble, chamber music kinds of events. For example, next week's concert with the Beethoven Septet. I want to ask you in a little bit, after we hear some more of the Septet, about your experience from a similar event last year. This year's event is called A Taste at Tiernan's Hall, which I mentioned and I'll ask you about. And then last year was one called A Taste of Schubert, where the ensemble played Schubert's octet, which is for eight players. But here is the second movement, the slowest movement, and very melodic here, of the septet out of six movements by Beethoven, played again by members of the Vienna Octet. We're talking with Alethea Taylor and Don Nolan of the Board of Directors of the Prairie Ensemble, which opens its season a week from tonight in downtown Urbana. This is Live and Local. There's a good chunk of the second movement, the cantabile, or singing movement, of Beethoven's Septet in E-flat. Members of the Vienna Octet performing here on Live and Local. We'll hear one more short movement from that coming up in a little bit here. In advance of a live performance a week from today of the complete Septet of Beethoven, it's about a 45-minute work, as part of the opening concert by the Prairie Ensemble, at Tiernan's Hall in downtown Urbana, next Tuesday the 16th.
Just to make sure, it's 115 West Main Street.
115 West Main Street. Well, I want to talk to the voice you just heard was of Don Nolan, who is one of the directors on the board of the Prairie Ensemble, actually vice president currently. Let me mention first that our programs today are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troop, and offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal and Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. And we have support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming baseball legend Dave Winfield and the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra as they present the Baseball Music Project on Friday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. And I might as well say that since that just came out here, we're going to be talking with the conductor of that Baseball Music Project on Live and Local on Thursday's show, so I hope you'll join us for that. Don Nolan and Alethea Taylor, who is the president of the Board of Directors of the Prairie Ensemble, are with me on the show. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about this specific event next week, which is very much modeled on one that was held last year in the same location, calling it Tiernan's Hall, which is what it used to be called, an old opera house, sort of. You know, they really presented more like vaudeville acts and so on, which is now a business. But what was the event like last year, and what do you think appeals about it for listeners who either may have already been there last year or haven't experienced the location?
I found the atmosphere quite exciting and festive last year. I think the awareness of being in a place most people hadn't been in before, so everybody was looking around, and so you had that kind of excitement. And it was the first time for that kind of event, in my experience, for the Prairie Ensemble, in terms of having hors d'oeuvres before the music and having tastings of wine and beer. Last year it was Austrian, this year it's German. That kind of adds a feeling of festivities, and so everyone that was there was talking to each other and exclaiming about the taste of the food and how wonderful it was to be in a place they'd never heard of before and certainly hadn't been in before. And of course the music was wonderful. It was very intimate, atmosphere.
Every seat was a good view.
Right. And it was sold acoustics. Out. It was a sold out crowd.
That's right. What is that, 125 seats? Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of seats available. So if you're interested in seeing this concert on November 16th from 7 p.m. on Tuesday, you should get your ticket prices in. Do you have the website for where people can go to buy tickets?
Oh, well, we certainly do. It's www.prairieensemble, that's one word, .org.
And you can order the tickets online there. You can make a phone call to the office, 355-9077, either way. The ensemble will certainly like to thank Piccadilly, who are providing the beer and wine for tasting, and Doug Friedman, who's going to host that, and also to Crane Alley. Those of you who know the restaurant Crane Alley in downtown Urbana know the building that Tiernan's Hall is in, because that's the building, and it's up on the third and fourth floor. You enter somewhat dramatically from the fourth floor through this wonderful staircase, which goes down into the performing space, as it were. Normally, it's just sort of a little lounge space for them, but and it's a nice acoustics there, too.
Right. I thought the acoustics were very good. And in case someone has a question, there is an elevator access to those third and fourth floors.
Yeah, you're going to want that elevator.
Parking,
yes.
Parking is ample, just right next door.
Yeah, and it's free in the downtown garage. And then there's lots on the street available at night.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, as the director, when I sat in the second floor in the back, and it was just excellent acoustics.
Yeah.
How did it sound to you down there?
Good. It was good. I remember it was hot on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
It was very hot on the stage. The players would certainly tell you that. We're at a little later time of year. I don't know if that'll make it a little cooler, but it affected intonation, I remember, the string players especially.
Right. Well, the weather was warm.
Yeah. Well, it was in September last year, I think. The piece that we're playing this year, the Beethoven Septet, was in fact, I didn't really know this, but as it turns out, it was the piece that inspired Schubert to write his octet, which was what was on last year's program. We should have done it the other way around, I guess, done a progression of pieces. But, you know, who knew? We didn't know we'd be repeating the event. I say we, and again, I'm the music director of the Prairie Ensemble, and so I'm sort of wearing two hats on the show today as host of Live and Local, which I certainly hope you're enjoying, and pleased to have my colleagues here who are going to be going off the board, I'm sorry to say, in January. They've been on for a long time, but 4 years each, I think, and Alethea's done two terms as president of the board, I think.
Not quite.
Something like that. You know, without board members, organizations such as the Prairie Ensemble or any other not-for-profit group, that they just don't happen. And so we're going to have some big shoes to fill. And if anybody listening happens to be have some spare time and think you might be interested in helping I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it anyway, the term grassroots musical organization. I know that the board will be looking for some new members starting in January, and now for that matter. And we think it's an exciting season.
It's a great group of people, and we have a lot of fun with each other. And I think if anybody's interested in being on the board, you'll get a very rewarding experience.
And you can certainly call the office for that. Again, it's area 217-355-9077 for tickets to next week's event. And, you know, I think the ensemble might start to get an impression for fostering alcoholic drinking during concerts, because the second concert this year is going to be our second time at the Canopy Club, which is a nightclub on the University of Illinois campus, where there is beer and wine and mixed drinks to be had and so on. And personally, from a conductor's point of view, I thought it was really a great deal of fun to turn around, talk to the crowd, and see all these folks with the beer and wine in their hands and eating pizza and whatnot. And
I've always found that beer enhances the Beethoven experience.
Don, Guinness will enhance any experience that you have. I happen to know that for a fact. Anybody who knows Don Nolan probably knows that for a fact.
It's about right.
Big fan of Guinness. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
It's nourishing. It's medicinal.
Yeah, and it's not as strong as it looks, I've noticed. Sometimes from lighter-looking beers, you can get more of a hit than from good old Guinness, but that we're really digressing here. So we're going to play a little bit more from Beethoven's Septet. Again, you can hear the complete work a week from tonight at Tiernan's Hall, Old Opera Hall, 115?
115 West University.
West Main Street in Urbana.
Downtown Urbana. It's in the same building as Crane Alley. Crane Alley will provide some food. Piccadilly providing wine and beer. And it's a fundraiser event. You do need to get reservations in advance for this one. As Alethea and Don said, it sold out rather quickly last year. And so you want to get those orders in to make sure you can get a seat in this rather wonderful space. PrairieEnsemble.org. And thanks very much to President of the Board, Alethea Taylor, Vice President Don Nolan, for coming in and talking to us today. And I know, Don, I think you could go off and teach a class or something.
I have to go to a meeting.
Oh, that's even worse. Well, too bad you can't be teaching a class. Committee meeting. All right. Thanks both very much.
You're welcome.
And best of luck with the season.
Thank you.
Here is the next to last movement, the Scherzo movement from Beethoven's Septet. And coming up soon, we'll be talking with Gus Gordon about a musical comedy show called Altar Boys, which is happening at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. The Scherzo movement from Beethoven's Septet, Opus 20, here on Live and Local, played by members of the Vienna Octet. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Metropolitan Opera continuing its series of live operas in high definition at neighborhood theaters. On Saturday, November 13th, the Met in HD presents Donizetti's Don Pasquale. For more information, visit metopera.org. And I'm not sure where all the theaters are in our listening area, but I know that the Savoy in Savoy is offering those Metropolitan Opera broadcasts, and they are absolutely splendid. I can recommend them absolutely wholeheartedly. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Gus Gordon, who is co-founder of Gordon Productions, based in Springfield, Illinois. And their goal is to produce small-scale theatrical productions in the area, and they've been around now for 11 years and have quite a list of shows to their credit. And the next one is actually opening tonight. On Tuesday, and it's opening on Thursday at the Hoagland Center for the Arts, and Gus Gordon is on the phone with me now. Thanks very much for joining me.
Kevin, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't you tell me what you can about the Hoagland Center, because I don't think that I've had a chance to actually ask anybody so far.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been involved at the Hoagland Center for the Arts almost since the day it opened. It opened in 2003, right in time for first night of that year. And it was a beautiful building, the old Masonic Temple in downtown Springfield. Parts of the building are over 100 years old. And years ago, the Masons in town realized that this was getting very difficult to maintain. Their base was getting a little older, and the building was so big and so old that it was kind of overwhelming them in all the needs of the building. So the Masons decided to sell it, and then a group of stalwart, civic-minded people thought, well, hey, why don't we get together and form an art center, an organization in downtown Springfield, Illinois, where all of the local arts groups can congregate and have a central base. So that was their goal. They were kind of like Don Quixote, you know, tilting at windmills. But they saw this wonderful old building that had several performing spaces already built in. There was a full stage that the Masons had and a couple of other spaces that could be turned into performing spaces. Much of it was laid out in a way so the Masons can do their pageantry and all of their special events. So it had to be adjusted and changed. But this group of investors and civic people decided, well, let's try to raise some money. let's take this wonderful old landmark building in downtown Springfield, and let's not let it become another parking garage or be torn down or just rot and, you know, fall into disrepair. So they had some wonderful investors, Carolyn Oxtoby, who's just won a historic preservation award for her life service to the community. She was one of the investors, along with her brother, I believe his name was Stephen Bartoff, and they raised some money and provided some money, rather, to make the purchase. And then it was up to the Springfield Arts Center, Inc., to then take that ball and continue running with it, and they really have done a magnificent job. Now, Kevin, when they turned this building from the Masonic Temple into the Hoagland Center for the Arts, they didn't just put down new carpeting and a new coat of paint. They did a major renovation to bring this building, as I mentioned, some of it's 100 years old. Some of it was designed in 1962, I believe, and they've done an amazing job bringing it up to date, making it compliant and handicap accessible, and just turning it into a beautiful, spacious, light, open performing arts center. And they were very successful in their mission of gathering the different groups to come together. The Hoagland Center for the Arts is home to at least 16 different arts organizations, and then a couple extra organizations like Mike Pittman Industries and the Junior League of Springfield. These groups call this place home. The Springfield Ballet Company, the Springfield Theater Center, the Prairie Art Alliance, the Springfield Watercolor Society, the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony, the Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra. On and on we go, the Prairie Art Alliance and the Sound Celebration Sweet Adeline's Chorus, the Land of Lincoln Barbershop Chorus. Dance, music, theater, all of these art forms are represented here, and we just have a wonderful energy that this building has. And it's been open, like I mentioned, since 2003, rather, and really started in earnest in 2004, and that's when my involvement began. I started producing shows independently here, and the first show that I did personally was the musical Forever Plaid, which is about four guys who are from the 50s. They love singing that great four-part harmony music, and from that era, the late 50s, early 60s, and the guys were killed in a car crash but get one night to come back and perform the show they never got to do in life. And we did that back in 2004. It was a big hit, and I've been involved off and on ever since. And since 2007, I've been here in a more official capacity trying to bring in shows to help maintain the building, to help keep funds coming in, because, as mentioned, it's an old building, it's a big building, and there are a lot of expenses.
I'm sure there are. You know, I remember its former incarnation, because you mentioned the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony is there.
Right.
I actually conducted that group for a couple of years.
Excellent.
And it rehearsed there at the time, and that was a neat building then.
Right.
And so I haven't seen it yet as the Hoagland Center, and I'm really anxious to do that.
Well, Kevin, I think people who know the building or knew the building as it was will be completely blown away by the job that was done. As I mentioned, it's not just new paint and taking down the wallpaper and putting in new carpeting. It was a major full-scale renovation. And, you know, we're in a difficult economy right now, and so like many performing arts spaces, the Hoagland Center for the Arts is doing its best to raise money to keep operating. It's a difficult economy, and we took some hits with our investments, and fundraising is just a constant. That is something that all arts centers and organizations just have to continually do, and the Hoagland Center for the Arts is no different. And what we do is we provide a home for, 15 different arts groups in this area, as mentioned. And we have to keep the building going and the heat and the air conditioning and all of that. So we've done little fundraising events throughout the years to try to help, you know, continue that. And Altar Boys, which is our upcoming show, is one of those events. We're doing this as a co-production. The Hoagland Center for the Arts is doing this as a co-production with the Jacksonville Theater Guild. It's a wonderful show about these five. It's kind of similar to Forever Plaid, actually, which brings me full circle. It's five guys who met in Catholic school, and they started a boy band, kind of like NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys. And this performance, the idea is that the performance they're giving on the stage is the very end of their whirlwind, you know, nationwide tour, and this is the last performance that they'll do as a group together. It's a funny show. It involves great music that is very much in the style of the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, so it appeals to a young crowd. But these guys are Catholic altar boys or former Catholic altar boys, and it has a very strong religious theme to it. The kids are all very devout. They really believe in what they're singing, and the comedy comes from their naivete at some situations and a lot of the events that take place as they perform their final concert.
Well, the description that I found on their website does refer to irreverent humor, as I assume there would have to be in this kind of a situation.
A little bit, yeah.
And I love the names of the boys: Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham.
Yeah, he's the one Jewish member, because he's the one who can write the lyrics.
Oh, is that how that goes?
Yeah, the other guy who writes the music, but they needed someone who could write good lyrics, and they found Abraham, who was attracted to the church and to the great costumes they got to wear, as he puts it. It is a little irreverent, but, you know, it's done in good taste, and I don't think many people would be offended by some of the humor. Again, I think it's all in how it's played, and the guys are sincere. And the guys are believers. So I think someone who might be, you know, put off by a little irreverence in a situation like that won't be offended, because they are so sincere and they mean so well.
Well, I wonder if folks who are fans of the various nonsense musicals might especially enjoy this as well.
Most definitely. This is a funny show. The music is great, and we have five incredible singers: Grant Estes, John Honan, Kyle Cummings, Zach Pickens, Joel Austin. They've done a great job. Roger Wainwright, who is just a wonderful musician, has put the band together, and they're just rocking. They're great. So it's like you're seeing a real concert. We have wonderful lighting by Steve Tankersley and Kate Soler. They've done a great job putting this together so it looks like a rock concert or a pop concert. So it's the kind of show that can appeal to people on different levels. It can appeal to teenagers, because it has music that they might enjoy. It can appeal to adults because it has a lot of humor to it. And even though it is a boy band, it's done tongue-in-cheek style, and it has a lot of, you know, comedy involved and a lot of high energy. And then it can appeal to people who like shows like Nonsense, because, you know, Nonsense, we did that a couple of times within the past couple of years, and the audiences were primarily Catholic. And we had so many nuns and priests come in who were laughing louder than anybody else. And that show can be irreverent as well. And Altar Boys is very similar to that in nature.
Well, sometimes, everybody who's inside various, you know, these various things, they know that so many of the jokes have a certain amount of truth to them. So that makes them all
exactly
all the funnier. Well, and this show won some awards, too. Outer Critics Circle Award for Outstanding Off-Broadway Musical.
Right.
Audience Favorite Award on, Broadway.com.
Exactly, which is one of the great theater websites.
And hung around for 5 years off-Broadway, so that's a pretty good run.
It really is for an off-Broadway show. This one has become kind of like the predecessor, the follow-up to Forever Plaid. It's become a show that's popular across the country. It's been done in major productions. It's been done by a lot of community theaters. And last summer, I went to see the production at the Jacksonville Theater Guild. And Kristen Van Aken Jameson is the director. And when I saw it and saw how well it was received by the audience and by how talented the cast was, I went up to Kristen and I said, "Hey, would you guys have any interest in bringing this to the Hoagland Center? We're looking for things to do to raise money. And I think this will be a wonderful addition. It's a fun show. The audience was just, you know, crazy, like a rock concert. The guys were treated like, you know, rock stars. They were signing autographs afterwards and selling T-shirts and buttons saying, 'I heart the Altar Boys.' And it was such a high-energy and fun event and a fun night out at the theater that I convinced Kristen to, you know, talk to her cast and her musicians. And it's one of those shows that the cast loves performing. And they all immediately said, "Sure, let's do it again. We don't want to give this up yet. It still has life in it. We're still enjoying it." So they're bringing that energy and that enthusiasm and that great performance here to Springfield, and we're thrilled about it.
music from the show Altar Boys, which is at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, starting Thursday night and continuing through Saturday evening with a Sunday matinee. And my guest on Live and Local is Gus Gordon of Gordon Productions, who is producing this show. It's actually being put on by the Jacksonville Theater Group. And I talked with him just a bit ago this morning, and we'll continue that right now on Live and Local. So this is, it's essentially a community theater production, but spruced up a bit. Have you added any additional production factors?
Well, we have, and that's where Steve Tankersley comes in. Steve has a company called Rage Revolta Stage Lighting. He's a professional lighting designer, and he loves the show. He's on the Jacksonville Theater Guild board, and he said, hey, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you with this lighting. So we have great rock concert lighting. We have a wonderful sound designer, Rick Major, who's known across the Midwest as a wonderful sound man, and he's running the sound for us on this. So we put in some extra money to make sure the lights and the sound are spectacular. The set's really great. The band, as mentioned, Roger Wainwright. One of Roger's credits, I just put the program together for the show, and one of Roger's credits is he played for Sammy Davis Jr., Mr. Bojangles. He's worked with a lot of the biggies over the years. So we have professional musicians who are playing for the show. And the guys are just super. Even though they're young, you need to be young for this show. You need, you know, early 20s age guys, and that's what all these fellas are. And they have that energy and that enthusiasm to be a heartthrob teen band. So we like to do shows here at the Hoagland Center that do kick it up a notch and aren't just your standard community theater fare. And I think we've been really successful in that goal. Now, we are still a community-based art center. The Springfield Ballet Company, those are, you know, young people from the community. That's not a professional company. Although if you ask anyone in the region, they'll say they do great work and they do professional quality work. Same thing with the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony. They're wonderful students. And the community orchestra that Richard Haglund now conducts. And they do great work. And even though they are community volunteers and aren't paid professionals, boy, they just do super work. And I like to think the shows that the Hoagland brings in are of a similar quality, that are a step above the average community theater show. And this one most definitely is. It's just really slick and really a lot of fun.
Tell me a little bit more about Gordon Productions and how it works. You said you've done you've mentioned a number of the shows you've done, and there's a much longer list that you can find on the Hoagland Center website. Do you typically are these generally community based productions, or do you sometimes bring in touring shows?
Well, that's been part of the fun of it. It started off purely as a community theater organization that my wife and I started. We wanted to do the show Forever Plaid back in 1999, and we did it at New Salem, Lincoln's New Salem, the first time we did it. No one else in town was doing it. No one expressed interest in doing it. And finally, I said, well, heck, I'm going to produce it myself. And that was the basis of our little company. And when the Hoagland Center opened, I would start producing my shows here. I would rent space like everybody else. We have resident organizations like the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony and the Springfield Ballet Company and the Springfield Theater Center, but we also rent to other organizations. And so I would do shows here, usually small-scale musical or comedies. Then in 2007, I started helping on a more full-time basis, and I'm involved with Gordon Productions. I'm involved producing specifically for the Hoagland, which is what I'm doing in the case of Altar Boys. Gordon Productions isn't necessarily involved in that directly, with the exception that I'm producing it and helping bring it all together and bring all the elements together. But we've done several cool things over the years. We've brought in the soap opera stars, Doug and Julie from Days of Our Lives, Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth Hayes, a delightful couple. They were superstars back in the 70s on the soap opera Days of Our Lives. And Bill sang on Your Show of Shows with Sid Caesar. He starred on Broadway in a Rodgers and Hammerstein show. We brought those two in to do Love Letters. In 2007, we brought Rex Smith in to star in a community fundraiser of Pirates of Penzance. Rex Smith was a big rock star in the 70s, and he starred on Broadway in Pirates of Penzance, and he played the young ingenue lead, and this time he played the Pirate King for us and was wonderful. Last year, we brought in Eddie Mecca from Laverne and Shirley. Eddie played Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls in concert for us and was a delight and an audience favorite. So we do community theater, but we try to bring it a level above. We're trying to bring in some celebrities. We forged a wonderful relationship with the Second City Comedy Troupe, and we have them down here on a regular basis. One of the huge hits for us last year is Second City Theatricals did a show called Rod Blagojevich Superstar. And it was a rock opera about Rod Blagojevich, and it was just hysterical. It was profane, but it was nothing that Rod or Patty didn't say themselves first. And we sold out on that show for 5 performances just on the basis of one line in a political column. We didn't have to do any advertising. We didn't have to do anything. One of the political guys put a comment in the newspaper, and then Brian Mackey at the State Journal Register put a little blurb in his column. We sold out just on the basis of people in Springfield wanted to see a funny show about Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that went over well.
He's not terribly popular here, as you might well imagine.
I wonder where he is.
I don't know.
I mean, where he might be popular.
Well, I guess on the reality shows he's a hit, but
apparently popular with the jury.
Yeah. Well, the last one, at least one person on it.
Yeah, right. That's all it takes. Well, Gus, it's great to talk to you. And the show that you're producing right now is Altar Boys. It opens on Thursday. It runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at 8 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts on South 7th?
6th
Street.
South 6th Street.
And remind me, please, what's the Hoagland Center website? I don't have it in front of me.
Well, it's Hoagland Center for the Arts. It's www.hcfta.org. And we have a wonderful brand-new ticketing system. People can buy tickets online, or they can call our box office at area code 217-523-2787. It's, again, Altar Boys is just a fun show. It's high energy, great music, talented singers, talented band, great light show. I think people who come will have a blast. And, again, it's a little irreverent, but, you know, sometimes the funniest shows are.
Go out and see Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham. Thanks very much, Gus, for joining
us. Thank you, Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Days you just can't begin. You feel outside looking. It's like you're.